Beloved radio friends, we welcome you to the precious Word of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as we continue our study in the first epistle of John in chapter 3. We would read the words written by the Spirit from verses 14 through 18 or 13 through 18 as we study the family letter once again. Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know, and ye know, that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his precious word. There is one blessed fact regarding the character of this world which the Spirit of God emphasizes to the saint, which the saint of God finds to be very true and sadly true. The world hates the children of God. If you read the words of our blessed Savior, which he has spoken in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, the Savior there confirmed this fact, saying to his disciples, "The world hated me, and it shall hate you." Now this is the spirit of the world, under the wicked one, even Satan. But very definitely, it is the spirit of those who perhaps have given up the truth, departed from the truth, and they have once professed it, but forsaken it. For how often it can be that it is the religious hatred of the world that persecutes the believer even at the present day. But note the contrast, what is to be expected of a believer from the children of God in his family. John writes, "We love the brethren." And certainly, here this is the center of verse 14 as you read the verse. This is the evidence of having passed from death unto life. There is an affection for the children of God. The one whom God has redeemed, and though the world may hate them, they are the objects of affection by God's redeemed children. Blessed and wonderful is this great change in the heart of a member of God's family. For when we become a Christian, redeemed by the blood of Christ, I think of my own experience, my heart toward Christians then manifested a love for them that never before existed. The moment salvation became mine, that new nature which dwelt within me through Christ, that new nature immediately went out in heart, in affection for my fellow believers, wherever they were. Now this is one evidence of passing from death to life, and thank God it is blessedly true. If you find a person who does not love Christians, surely, though claiming to be a Christian, then we may question their profession. Is it real or not? One of the evidences that we have been saved, we love the believers, writes the Apostle John. Now an unbeliever knows nothing of this, for John rightly goes on to state, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." And instead of love, there can be hatred against one another. Strong is the statement of John when he declares, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." It is that seed of murder which hatred is within the heart. And it reveals not the outward appearance of this man, but rather the terrible inward reality of his heart. But the true child of God knows and perceives the true love of God, which has been expressed, fully displayed, in and by and through the beloved Son of God, our Savior, who gave himself to redeem us. Now this is the great and the incontestable proof of infinite love, God's love toward us, through and in Christ. Well, as Paul expressed and written it in Romans 5 and verse 8 to say, God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now if Christ did this, then we who are his ought to be willing to lay down our lives for our fellow believers who are in Christ, according to verse 16 in our chapter. What a test of love this is. Are we willing to do this? But God has even other ways for us to show our love for one another. He talks to us about everyday problems, the daily need that may be around us, existing upon every hand among so many, the everyday ordinary opportunities to prove our love toward our fellow believers. And here is one example that God gives. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now we should realize, our eyes ought to be open, as believers, and as children of God, to recognize the need that exists around us in humanity, and particularly, of course, in the household of faith. We should be watching for every opportunity to minister and to help in every needy case, for every needy person. Many years ago, the psalmist wrote these words, saying, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor." And once again he wrote other words, saying, "He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord." My fellow believer, we who are Christians can only imitate and should be imitating the great heart of our Father above. He so loved us, he gave his only begotten Son to save us. Surely he is the greatest giver. And how anxious we should be, and how anxious the Father is, that this same Spirit would be manifested through us to one another, and even to all who may be in the world. What joy there can be in giving, if you and I, my fellow Christian, will be spiritually awake to the opportunities of helping and relieving worthy persons that are in the need of practical provisions of life. Not alone, may I state, amongst the family of God, but even those that are outside the family of God. Well, did Paul write to the Galatian believers and reminded them that we should do good to all men, and especially to the household of faith. And the beloved Apostle John very bluntly states that the one who refuses to help his brother, though able to do so, does not have the love of God abiding in him. He may be loved of God, but that new nature that believer has been given in order to love others is lacking. John declares that we should not love just in word. Please note this. Not say that we love one another, nor even in tongue, but that we should love in deed, and we should love according to the truth. I recall very vividly an incident in my early days of ministry in the state of South Carolina. In a certain small town nearby where I lived, one family had their home burnt to the ground one night. Everything was lost, though they themselves, fortunately, were saved alive. Upon the streets of the little town the next morning, some of the businessmen were speaking about the tragedy, and commenting, and sympathizing, and, of course, expressing their sympathy for such a tragedy the family had sustained. And as they talked one after another, present among them was a Jewish businessman standing near listening. And suddenly he spoke to them, He said, I've been listening to you saying how sorry you are for what has happened to this family. And he put his hand in his pocket and said, I am sorry $25 worth. Now, how much are you sorry? Now, you can recognize, and so do I, that man showed his sympathy and his affection for the family in need in a practical way. That is the meaning of John's epistle, telling us here that as the family of God's dear children, we should, without question of doubt, manifest in practical expression our love, not alone to the family of God, but even to others outside the family. Oh, my beloved, may I state how precious to realize that God, by the Holy Spirit, has certainly made clear unto us through John's epistle. Now, let me point out, the portion that we are studying, the section of this epistle, is that responsibility of the family toward the world and in the world, whether it be toward believers or whether it be toward unbelievers. Well, as John written in a later chapter saying, we loved because he first loved us. And so may God by the Holy Spirit manifest the blessing of this study in the Word of God regarding practical giving. And I say again, may I remind my fellow believers, we may often, too often, restrict our giving, our helping to the people of God, and forget those that are outside of Christ. Let me repeat the words of the Apostle in Galatians 6 again. We ought to do good unto all men. Now that takes in the unsaved. But of course, he adds, especially to the household of faith. Shall we lift our hearts in prayer, asking God to sanctify the truth to the hearts of his people? Blessed Father, in the name, for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus, and for the testimony we Christians should bear for him in this scene, we ask thee to enable us to carry out the manifestation of that love which we have tasted, the love of God, who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We would say in the words of another, love this world through me, Lord, this world of sinful men. We ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.